You know, this past week, most likely, you could have used some advice because you had a major decision to make and you needed somebody's help in establishing your options. The question is, did you seek anybody's advice? This past week, those of you who are parents of small children, you could have used somebody's guidance in how to deal with that discipline problem of your child. The question is, did you ask anybody's advice? This past week, some of you who are business owners or managers of a business, you could have used somebody's advice on how to deal with a situation at work. The question is, did you ask anybody's advice? And the answer to those questions is probably no, because we are as reluctant to stop and ask for advice as we are reluctant to stop and ask for directions. But the Bible tells us that's not the way it should be. God never intended you to try to navigate through life on your own. He has populated your life with people who are there to give you the guidance you need. That's what we find in the world's most practical book. The world's most practical book is the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And a few weeks ago, we started a short series through selected Proverbs as we, as a church, sort of transitioned out of the summer in plans to begin a new school year. And so today what we're doing is looking at some selected Proverbs that help us understand how to get the good advice that we need. The book of Proverbs is all about that. Proverbs 12 verse 15 says, "Stupid people always think they're right. Wise people listen to advice." Proverbs 15:22 says, "Get all the advice you can and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail." God made sure that He included those and many other Proverbs in His instruction manual for life so that we would have our eyes open, so we would look around for the people in our lives that He has placed there to be good advisors. I want to ask and try to answer three questions this morning. When should you seek advice? Why don't we ask for advice more often? And how should you seek advice? When should you seek advice? Why don't we ask for it more often? And then how should you seek advice? And so you've got your sermon notes inside your bulletin, but we only have blanks to fill in on the answer to the third question. Made it easier for you today. So let's just kind of follow along in your notes as we answer this first question. When should you seek advice? Proverbs 21:11 says, "Simpletons only learn the hard way, but the wise learn by listening." We have this naive notion that the wisest people in our church are probably the people that we would go to for advice. And while that's true, a characteristic or a mark of the wisest people in our church is they may be coming to us from time to time to seek our insight and seek our input into something. Simpletons only learn the hard way. The wise learn by listening. When should you seek input from another person? Number one, when you are considering a new venture. When you are considering a new venture. Those of you in high school or in college, you're trying to figure out perhaps what career to enter into. Wouldn't it be a wise thing to talk with somebody who's already in the career that you want to enter into? Find out what school they advise you go to. Find out what classes that they advise that you take. Find out what internships or experience that they would encourage you to have before you get into that line of work. Some of you are trying to expand your business in some sort of way. Wouldn't it be wise to sit down with somebody in a similar sort of business and find out what experiences that they had? Anytime we make plans for something, we ought to build into our planning enough time to stop and seek advice from somebody else. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 18 says, "Make plans by seeking advice." Now, the older you get and the more life experience you have, the less often you have to do that, right? Well, not according to the Bible. Now, that may be the assumption a lot of us have. We have more life experience than other people. We've had more successes than other people. So why should we go and seek advice from other people? But another wisdom book in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, says this, Ecclesiastes 4:13, "Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning." Some of the wisest men and women I know are still hungry for the insights of others, no matter how experienced they are in life, no matter how far along they are in life. Another time to seek advice is when you've had a series of failures. That's number two. When you've had a series of failures, that's a good time to seek advice. If you keep trying over and over, doing the same old thing and getting the same rotten results, it may be a good time to sit down with somebody who's had a little more success in that area and ask them, what you're doing wrong and what you need to do right. Related to that, make a note of a third reason to seek advice. When you're worried that you've developed some negative traits that you can't immediately identify. Now, usually in this instance, somebody else has identified those negative traits in your life. Your marriage partner, your coworkers, and they've criticized you about something, and it's not obvious to you. If you go to somebody who is a trusted advisor and say, hey, is there anything to this? It may be that this trusted advisor may be able to open your eyes up to some things that are the reason why you're having such difficulty or challenges in life. On the other hand, you need advice when you know very clearly the areas you want to improve in and you want to know how to go about it. So the one reason to seek advice would be because you're having some difficulties in life and you're not exactly sure why, and so you go to somebody. And in other instances, it's because you've decided to make some changes in your life and now you need to go to somebody who can help you with those changes. So you go to a conference and you get all fired up and you get convicted about doing something in your life you haven't been doing for a while. You go to a men's conference and you realize that you've been neglecting your marriage, you've been neglecting your kids, you want to do something about that. You are listening to a sermon at church and you realize it's been a long time since you've opened your Bible and studied it on your own or with other people, and you decide that's something you need to do. Or you realize it's been a long time since you've shared your faith with somebody. Now how do I do something about that? It's at that moment when you're making those changes in your life that you should go to somebody who's had a reasonably good track record in those areas and ask them how you can do better in that area. The reality is, just by signing a commitment card, walking an aisle, announcing to somebody that you're going to be a different kind of person, that's an important step. But that's not a sufficient step in and of itself. Otherwise, you would have been successful in that section of your life all along. But when you realize something needs to happen, you need to go to somebody who can give you some guidance about how to make that happen. And then number five, you need to seek advice when you need perspective. When you need perspective. The reality is that it sometimes is difficult to see the forest because we're surrounded by the trees. We are in the thick of our circumstances, so much so that we have lost hope, we have lost faith, or we're in danger of losing that, and we just don't know what to do. We can't find the trail anymore, and it's good to be able to sit down with somebody who's sort of outside of our situation and help us see life and get a perspective from outside of our situation. Sometimes we need another pair of eyes to give us proper perspective. Now, if these are all good reasons to seek advice and all good times to seek advice, then why don't we seek advice more often? As I said at the beginning, we are as reluctant to stop and ask for advice as we are to stop and ask for directions too often. And so we need to ask ourselves another question as we're looking into these Proverbs. Why don't we ask for advice more often? Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, "The wise man is glad to be instructed, but a self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face." And a lot of us in here, metaphorically speaking, we have the bruises on our body to show that we have fallen flat on our face over and over again because we think we're self-sufficient and we don't need the guidance and the insight of somebody else. So why don't we ask for advice more often? Number one, it's in your notes. We don't ask for advice because we don't want to face up to what we already know we should do. Some of us were involved in situations that are sinful, or if they're not sinful, they're just foolish. But we know if we talk with somebody about that segment of our lives, they are going to call us out on something that we have no intention of making any changes in. And so we don't talk to somebody so that we can continue to go on and pretend that all of the decisions that we're making are okay. Number two, we don't like to ask for advice because we fear being seen as weak. So we don't talk about struggles we're having in our life groups. When we're sitting in our life group, we don't talk about those struggles because we fear being seen as an immature Christian. Or we don't talk about and ask questions of how to accomplish something at work because we don't want to look incompetent. Or we don't talk to our neighbor about a particular struggle we're having and difficulty we're having, or another family member. We don't talk about that because we don't want to look like somebody who can't stand on their own two feet. But what does Proverbs chapter 13:10 say? Be humble, take advice, and become wise. It sounds like a formula, doesn't it? It sounds like a recipe. You've got to start off in humility, recognizing you don't have all the answers. Life isn't working out the way you've been trying it. Be humble. And then number two, take advice And what happens in the end? You become wise, but only through that process. So we need to pay attention to that. Number three, we don't like to ask for advice because we assume there's nothing anyone else can teach us. Now, why would we assume that? We would assume that because we think that we're better than everybody else, or we assume that because we think we're worse than everybody else. So there are two reasons why we would think this. Some of us, we assume that nobody else can teach us anything because we think we're too advanced. You've run across people like that from time to time, right? They are so spiritually mature, at least in their own eyes. They're almost on a different plane of existence. They don't have anything else that they could learn from anybody else. And there's a verse that speaks to that, Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And so we need to make sure that we don't think ourselves so advanced, so spiritually mature, so above everybody else, that we can't take guidance and advice from anybody. But I said there are two reasons why we don't seek advice from somebody else. Not only because we might think we're too good or better than everybody else, but we might think we're worse than everybody else. In other words, we think our situation is unique. Nobody else has the parenting struggles that we have. Nobody else has ever failed spiritually than like we have. Nobody else has fallen in to the kind of addiction struggles that we have and dealt with the consequences that we have. We start thinking that. We start singing that song. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. And because of that, then we don't go and seek out the advice of somebody else because we would think our situation is so different, so unique than what anybody else has ever experienced that they don't have any useful advice to share with me. And so we don't seek that out. We don't look for that guidance. But look at Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Or here it is in the Today's English Version, the TEV. People learn from one another, just as iron sharpens iron. It's one of my favorite verses. It's one of the reasons that we go to church instead of just watching church on TV or on a streaming service exclusively. It's one of the reasons we get into a life group. It's one of the reasons we build friendships with other Christians, because just as only iron can sharpen iron, so it's only one person who can sharpen another person. And so if you want to be a sharper instrument in the hands of God, if you want to be a more effective instrument for God on this earth, you need to be sharpened. And the only way you can be sharpened is be in relationship with somebody else who's giving you the guidance, asking you the tough questions that maybe you try to avoid asking of yourself. Now, if that Bible verse is true, if we are sharpened through our relationship with other people and our interaction with their advice, then how should you seek advice? That's the third question that we are exploring this morning. And for this one, you are going to need a pen or a pencil as we fill in these reasons or these ways to seek advice. Proverbs 28:26 says, it is foolish to follow your own opinions. Be safe and follow the teachings of wiser people. So obviously the first step in living out that proverb is to find wise people. You need to enlist the right advisor. Enlist the right advisor, which begs the question, who qualifies as the right advisor? A couple of things that you need to look for if you're looking for the qualifications of the right advisor. First of all, the right advisor is somebody who is a supporter. They are somebody who has your best interest at heart, and they believe in the cause that you're involved in. Why would you make yourself vulnerable? Why would you open up your heart to somebody who has no interest in you, who maybe doesn't like you, who's quick to criticize you? Why would you open up your heart to somebody like that, or open up your heart to somebody who doesn't share your passion and your cause? Make sure you find somebody who's a supporter. But secondly, the right advisor is somebody who has a good track record in the area where you want success. In other words, you need to find a supporter, but not every supporter can be your advisor. Every advisor should be a supporter, but not every supporter can be an advisor. I read about a photographer for a national magazine one time who was assigned to shoot a huge forest fire. And he was told that the airport, that there would be a small plane waiting for him. And so he rushed to the airport. Sure enough, there was a Cessna sitting out there. And so he jumped into the seat next to the pilot, and they said, take off. And the pilot took off and lifted up into the air, and soon they saw this plume of smoke out ahead. He said, draw closer to that. The pilot drew closer to that. He said, now what I want you to do is circle around that plume of smoke as low as you can. And the man sounded a little nervous. He said, why should I do that? And the man said, because I am a photographer and my job is to take pictures of this forest fire. Now do what I say. And the pilot said, you mean you're not the flight instructor? Now the moral of that story is, if there are two people in an airplane, one needs to know what he's doing. And if there are two people sitting at lunch, visiting with each other over a problem, the same rule applies. At least one of them needs to know what he's doing. Right? And so we need to make sure that we are finding the right advisor, somebody who has a reasonably good track record in the area that we want success in. Now, nobody's perfect. And so if you're trying to find an advisor to help you with your marriage, you're never going to find somebody who has it completely together. They've always had some mistake, but they have a reasonably good track record at marriage. If you're looking for somebody who's going to help you with guidance and overcoming some addiction issue, get somebody who's not just currently in the throes of that struggle himself or herself, but somebody who has a reasonably good track record at overcoming that situation himself or herself. We need to make sure that we are doing that, because again, every advisor needs to be your supporter, but not every supporter can be your advisor. You know, it's wonderful to be a part of a support group. If you're dealing with something, if you're going through something, I hope you're part of a support group. It's just incredibly affirming to sit down with somebody and you finally share what's on your heart and you hear somebody say, I know what you're talking about. That is incredibly affirming. But not every support group has in it people who are advisors, because for a lot of folks, they're in that support group because they're in the midst of struggling with something themselves. And so make sure you find a support group, but make sure you find an advisor too, somebody who has a reasonably successful track record in the area that you're trying to have success in yourself. Here's a second question in seeking advice. Make your questions as specific as possible. Make your questions as specific as possible. One reason you ought to do that is, in a lot of instances, when you are seeking out somebody to sort of mentor you, you are likely asking a busy person to take up some of his or her time to invest in you. And so make sure and respect that. And make sure you kind of know what you want to talk about when you get together. But another reason you need to be as specific as possible is not only out of respect for them, but out of respect for your time. You should ask your questions yourself to the point where you're looking at these questions and you go, okay, if I go to my advisor with these questions and he answers all of them, will my problem be solved? And until you can say yes to that question, you don't have a set of questions ready to bring to your advisor. Be as specific as possible with the situation that you're trying to deal with. Number three, give your advisor time. Give your advisor time. Now, sometimes, in fact, most of the time, what that means is if you have a one-hour lunch with your advisor, you're only taking 20, no more than 30 minutes to lay out your problem, allowing at least 30 minutes for your advisor to give a suggestion. Now, this is difficult to do. I know it's difficult on both ends of this. When I've sought advice myself, when people have sought advice from me, I know when I've sought advice myself, it just feels so good finally to open up your mouth and start talking about what's going on in your life, and somebody's listening and paying attention to that, and it's hard to turn off the flow once you've got it started. But it's important to do that. It's important to come to a point where you've closed your portion of the conversation and you're letting the other person do the talking now, because that's why you asked him or her to lunch or to coffee to begin with, to talk with them about that particular situation. But depending on the heaviness of the situation that you're trying to deal with, it may be that it needs more than just that one coffee time, that one lunch time. It may be that you've got to share with your advisor and then let your advisor go off and think through this and pray through this and schedule another time to sit down with your advisor so he or she can talk about what they feel you ought to do. Advice given on the run and advice given off the cuff is hardly, or rarely anyway, advice worth following. So pay attention to that. Number four, never argue with your advisor. Don't interrupt, don't correct, don't disagree. The reason you sat down with that person is so that you could listen to what he or she had to say. I read a story one time about a man who was on the golf practice course when the club pro, Maury, came in with a very important-looking man who had come in for a lesson, and Maury watched this guy swing several times, and he started making suggestions for improvement, but each time this important pupil interrupted, he interrupted with his own version of what he felt he was doing wrong and how he felt he could correct it. And pretty soon, Maury just started nodding and saying, yeah, I see what you're saying there. That sounds good. And at the end of the lesson, the self-important man paid him, complimented him for being one of the best golf pros he'd ever had, and he walked out. And the guy who'd been watching this all along came to him and said, "Mari, what in the world? Why did you do that? The guy had an awful swing, and you just kept agreeing with him." And as Mari pocketed the money, he said, "Son, I've learned a long time ago that you can't sell answers to a man who only wants echoes." Now, the reality is, you've got to ask yourself, do you want answers or do you want echoes when you're sitting down with somebody, with a person you're asking to give you advice? You need to make sure that you are, zipping your lip and paying attention to what they have to say to you. Now, to that end, we need to get to the next point, because the next point helps us understand that when I say don't argue with your advisor, don't correct your advisor, I don't mean by that that you're turning over the entire responsibility to your advisor. So we need to look at number 5. Remember that you cannot delegate the decision to your advisor. So when I say don't argue, don't correct, what I mean is sometimes maybe you just need to stay quiet, let your advisor give some guidance, and then go home and process that and think about that. You're not obligated to follow what your advisor says. You're not required to follow what your advisor says. Sitting down with somebody and asking for advice is not offloading the responsibility of that decision to somebody else. You've got to make the decision. T. Boone Pickens, at a commencement address some time ago, this businessman said, you need to make sure you don't fall victim to the ready, aim syndrome. You've got to fire. You've got to pull the trigger. And some of us, when we're seeking advice from somebody else, it's just an elaborate procrastination technique. It's just another way to avoid doing what we know we ought to be doing. And so know the difference between that. When your advisor gives you guidance, when your advisor gives you advice, you go home, you process that, you think about that. You're the one living with the consequences of the decision you make or fail to make, not your advisor. So this is important when I'm seeking advice. It's also important sometimes when I'm asked to give advice, because in my role as pastor, sometimes, especially if people don't know too much about the role of pastor, or they don't know too much about pastors, they will come and they will seek advice on something, and I'll feel this special obligation to remind them. Now remember, what I'm sharing with you here is just two people talking. It's just one person giving you some guidance that I think is worthwhile. I'm not coming down from Mount Sinai with the voice of God telling you what you ought to do. Now, that's important for us as we pay attention to other advisors in our lives as well. We are responsible for living with the decision and the consequences that we make. So we're not offloading the responsibility of the decision on somebody else. We're just seeking their advice, and then we're owning the decision that we make ourselves. That's how to get good advice. Now, it may well be that you forget all this stuff we talked about today. I mean, this was a long list of things from the book of Proverbs and some things that I've learned in my own life. And maybe you take this sheet of paper and you file it somewhere, and somewhere you need advice and you forget all these details because you can't find the sheet of paper. Here's just the one thing you need to remember. God has populated your life with people who can give you guidance. You need to ask Him to open your eyes to find the people in your life that He has given you to seek advice. Don't go it alone. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Get all the advice you can and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail." Now, let me close with this, because there's one more place where you need to seek advice. And that is in how to find God and how to grow in Him. Much of what we've been talking about today has to do with your marriage here on this earth, your business here on this earth, your responsibility of raising your kids in that temporary time you have to raise your kids here on this earth. But for some of us in here, the most important thing we need to do is seek someone's advice on how they found God and how they're growing in God. In Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian official. The Bible tells us he was in charge of the queen's treasury in Ethiopia. And he was obviously spiritually seeking, because the Bible tells us when he shows up on the scene in Acts chapter 8, he's in a chariot and he's reading the Bible and he's trying to understand it. In fact, he's having trouble understanding it, because there was a deacon named Philip who came along the chariot at this point, led by the Holy Spirit. And Philip asks him the question, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian asked a really important question. He said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come up into the chariot with him. And together they had a Sunday school class. They had a Bible study. And Philip identified that he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said that Isaiah was a prophet. And he was predicting the coming of the Messiah. And Philip explained to him how the Messiah had come. And his name was Jesus. And he was the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. And this Ethiopian official placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality is that some of us today, we're asking what that Ethiopian official is saying. How can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? How can I understand this book, this Bible? How can I understand how to get to God and grow in Him if somebody doesn't explain it to me? So we need to make sure that we're seeking out advice when it comes to this most important area of our lives as well. And to that end, I want to pray over you that you would be somebody who seeks out the advice of somebody spiritually. So let's bow in prayer. And let me pray first of all for a wide variety of issues in which we need to seek advice, business or school or parenting or our marriage, a relationship problem, trying to come to a decision over a range of options that we have. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with this gathering today. They're not here by accident. They're listening in on the streaming service, or they're here in person because you placed them here to learn how to be wiser people. They've got something they're struggling with, a decision they need to make. They're unable to see the forest for the trees. They need a new perspective, new confidence, new faith. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes to the people in their lives that you have placed there who can give them good advice so that they might be wiser people. But I also pray, Lord, for those who need advice in the area of their spiritual life. They need to know who you are and how to have a relationship with you. They need, in a relationship with you, to grow stronger in that and grow more mature. And so, Lord, I pray for these Ethiopian officials in this gathering today who would openly, readily admit, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? And I pray, Lord, that you would give them a readiness and an openness to the people that you want to put in their lives to influence them in the direction, spiritually speaking, that they would want to go and need to go. And Lord, I pray this so that all of us would know you better and grow in you and better glorify you in the decisions we make in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.